The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Communication is a process. What we like to think is that the way things work out is that one person will speak, the other person will hear what is being said and understand it right away, and the message will have gotten through. But there's a lot that gets in the way of communication working. Perhaps the person speaking gets sort of tongue-tied or lost in a thought and doesn't clearly communicate the message. Or perhaps as the message is being communicated, there's a disruption or something that calls the listener's attention away. And ironically, at the earliest service, we actually had a real-life example of that where, as I was saying that, this little toddler started to scream and yell. And everyone was looking that direction to see what was going on. And as her dad walked her out, the further they got away, the louder she screamed, so that we all knew she was still there. So there can be that kind of interruptions, or the fire truck going down the street. But also there are things in the listener that keep the message from being heard and processed. Maybe the listener doesn't like the person speaking. Or maybe the listener is preoccupied with something else that's going on and isn't able to focus as much. Maybe the person doesn't like what they're hearing. And even what we listen to and pay attention to is not an automatic thing, in that we will only pay attention to the things that somehow have an impact on us. And if it doesn't have an impact, we won't listen. And it's important to talk about communication because what we have in the gospel text today is a moment of communication where the divine, the ultimate power over all things, the Lord God, is speaking to Mary. And what God is saying to Mary is that through her, God will accomplish extraordinary things on earth. So we start with the angel. You know, there are all kinds of wonderful stories about angels. We have images in our heads of what angels look like. We can see that if we look at the windows up here, or sitting in the open tomb over there, or inside the creche over here. But understanding of angel is much more basic in this story with Mary, where an angel literally means the messenger, the one who carries the message. And so Gabriel is the messenger speaking to Mary on behalf of God. And what is fascinating about this message is that Gabriel tells Mary that things are going to happen in her life that are impossible. As a virgin who has not had any physical intimacy with a man, she's going to conceive a child. That's biologically impossible. And Mary, even at her young age, knew that. And that the child that was going to be born, this child is going to be the next king, but there's no indication from Mary and her lineage that there's going to be such a thing. That's politically impossible. And yet the angel Gabriel says to Mary, what you think is impossible is going to become possible because God will make it happen. And this is what God is saying to you. You are the one favored by God in order to accomplish God's will in the world. Communication happens both at a macro level. Those are the large messages we get all the time on social media or on television or in the newspaper. And usually the message is telling us something that's wrong or telling us what we believe is wrong or telling us that we don't have the right possessions, and if we bought the right possessions, that would make everything better. That macro level is always feeding us the message that if you don't buy into one way of thinking, then you're wrong. There's also what are called micro messages. It's those messages that don't need words. It's simply what the person does as you're engaging them. And so if you're talking to a person and the person pulls out the phone and starts fiddling on it while you're talking, there's a clear message being sent there, isn't there? Or if the person you're talking to all of a sudden goes and starts talking to another one in mid-sentence, there's a message that's being sent to you. I was a psych major in college, and we had this one section in psychology on behavioral adjustment. And so we decided to see if it really worked in class. And so whenever the professor stood in one corner of the room, we would look at him and nod and agree and pay attention. And if he wandered off to a different side of the room, we would all sort of cross our hands and put our heads down. You know where we had him by the end of class? Over in the corner, because that's where he's getting the most positive feedback. And so we get the same messages non-verbally, these micro messages that tell us there's something wrong with us. We don't measure up. But God, through Gabriel, speaks to Mary and says, you're asked to do something impossible, not because of what you can accomplish, but because I have favor in you. And it's the same thing God is speaking to each one of you. In you, God takes such great delight. God finds favor for each and every one of you. That breakthrough, that communication from heaven to earth to Mary, God continues to speak to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, saying you are favored and you are loved. We know a couple of different qualities of Mary. We learn that she does a lot of thinking about what is happening. I love that line, she pondered this in her heart. It always sounded more sophisticated to say she pondered that than she sort of figured out what was going on. She pondered what was in her heart. We find she was a righteous person. She obviously was faithful and good. But what we learn about this text is even though Mary had all of those qualities, that's not why God chose her. God chose her because that's what God does. And it's common in call narratives throughout the Old Testament that all of a sudden God will call someone out of the blue without any pedigree. Because there's nothing that we need to do to earn God's favor. But God reaches out to us and gives it anyway. It's fun to have a son who plays high school sports. And a part of what I really enjoy about that is when I go to some of his games, like his basketball games, people don't know me as Pastor Tim or the senior pastor of Holy Trinity. What they know me as is Andrew's dad. I love that. Andrew's dad. There's no status other than I'm connected with Andrew. The other thing I enjoy, especially in the basketball season, because my son does relatively well with basketball, is that they see how well he plays, and they look at me, and first of all, they notice the same hairstyle. Sometimes there's wonderful dreadlocks going everywhere. But they also assume because I was tall that I also played basketball and that I was good at it too. And I don't argue with it. You know, eventually someone will ask me the question, so what position does your son play? And I can't answer it because I don't remember what the positions are in basketball. That's why I became a runner, because I didn't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. There's only first place and at the back. That's what running was all about. But see, it's that affection and that love and that acceptance for me, even though I don't measure up at all. That's the way God is. So don't keep wearing yourself out trying to make yourself acceptable. Because out of the grace and love of God, God is present and loving you now. Mary is the one then that bears Jesus and sees the life of Jesus play out in front of her. And I'm thinking about that because, you know, every year at Christmas there has to be a war on something. And this year the war is on the song, Mary, Did You Know? So, you know, if you're woke enough, you'll be sensitive to the fact that, of course, Mary knew you shouldn't put her down because of who she is. But it really misses the point, which is Mary had the angel speak to her. Mary knew something significant was going to happen, but she could have never imagined what it was going to be. One thing to say, you're going to have this child chosen by God, but imagine her reaction the first time he healed someone who was sick or raised someone from the dead. Can you prepare yourself for that? Or the way that he would teach when he was in the synagogue, and even though the people of his hometown rejected him, you can't prepare yourself for that. And when she watches her son die on the cross, and then sees him raised from the dead, how can you be ready for that? But that's how it played out in Mary's life. That even in his own death and resurrection, this child Jesus was still changing her life. On Wednesday of this week, it was the sixth anniversary of my mother-in-law's death. And isn't it fascinating? I was noticing, and my wife was noticing for the days leading up to that, she just was sort of in a funk, you know, not feeling joy, feeling frustrated. And at first she couldn't figure out why. And then she looked at the calendar, and then she realized why. And I see that happen over and over again with people who've lost loved ones. They don't know why they're feeling that way, but then they look at the calendar and realize it's the mark of an anniversary of the loss of a loved one. And we were talking about some of the stories of how things went after my mother-in-law died. Connie had been in Ohio visiting with my mother-in-law. And on Wednesday morning of that week, she called me after our son Andrew had gone to school to say that her mother had died. And so what I was going to do is I was going to pick up Andrew from school, and we're going to head out to Ohio to be with family. Well, Andrew, you know, full of life and enthusiasm, gets in the car and says, guess what I got at the school gift fair today? You know, there's the little gifts that students can go in and buy for a loved one. He said, I bought this little heart necklace for Grandma. I started to cry. I said, Grandma died this morning. It was silence. Then he said, I still love her, and I'm going to give her this gift anyway. That's the way God looks at each one of you. The way God is with each one of you. That even in the time of death, God will not abandon you, but will give you the very gift of everlasting life. Not because we've earned it, not because of great accomplishments, but because that's the way God is. And with God, nothing is impossible. Amen.